This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Before we talk with our guest, Bill Kousalis, and he's someone who has extensively studied Mothman and the Silver Bridge and everything, we want to mention a few things for our listeners, where one of which is this show will be heard on the 4th of October. And if you tune in after that, well, this may have happened, but it's worth checking out. On the 6th of October, the James Fox movie The Phenomenon premieres as a digital download. So it's going to be available, I guess, all over the world from usual offenders like Apple TV Plus, iTunes, of course, Amazon Prime, Vudu, and a lot of other services. So you'll be able to buy it for $19.99 U.S. I have no idea whatever it's going to cost in different countries, which is a pretty normal price for films like this. We're trying to get some special deals for listeners who sign up with the PowerCast Plus. I'll let you know how that happens. And certainly in the near future, we will be hearing from James Fox about this movie. As many of you know, James has been working on this film for a number of years. He had two other UFO documentaries, but this one has a fairly big budget. Peter Coyote does the narration. It features a lot of people over the years you're familiar with. Also, some figures involved in the current UAP investigations, including Senator Harry Reid and John Podesta and Chris Mellon. Dr. Jacques Vallée is also in it. In fact, he did a lot of work in the editing of the film, according to James. So we will have him on later this month. In the meantime, you can pre-order, okay? It's not paid commercial. You can pre-order the film and check it out. I have already seen it, by the way, and Randall's going to have his chance to see it very soon. He just learned that now. But I've already seen it. There's no sensationalism. It's a straight-ahead documentary. Very well done, very well produced, classy production. None of the crap that you see in reality shows, just straight-ahead factual information. And it's not just that UFOs are spaceships. So, Bill, you anxious to see The Phenomenon?
I'd be happy to take a look at it, yes. I've heard a little bit about it, but I don't know much about the background other than what you just shared with us.
It's more like I said, I did see it just before the last time that James was on the show. So, Bill, we kind of got you on the show at the last minute here, but I know that you have been involved in studying the paranormal for a number of years. How did you get involved?
You know, and to tell you, Gene, basically, I mean, going back to when I was a little kid, I was really riveted with that old television show in the 1970s called Project UFO. Are you familiar with that? Do you remember that?
Just the facts, man. That's Jack Webb, by the way.
Yeah.
The guy who created the TV procedural show, Dragnet. And the other thing about it, too, is that Jack Webb was, in real life, very seriously interested in UFOs. Now, this was a fictional show. It was kind of based on Project Blue Book very loosely. And so what did you think about when you were watching the show in the 70s?
Well, I was 9 years old. I had no exposure to the paranormal at that point in time. But I remember coming home on Sundays and begging the parents to be able to turn it on so I could watch it because I just loved it. I don't remember a lot of the details because that's going back decades ago now, but that was my very first exposure to the paranormal.
It was about two guys who go out and investigate sightings. Most of the time they solved it. It's kind of patterned after Project Blue Book, far more so, I think, than the more recent show. Don't know if you saw it, the Project Blue Book show loosely based on the life of Dr. Hynek. Have you seen that? I thought that was a horrible show.
I've heard a lot of people that have had that type of response. I think I took a look at it from just an entertainment value type of a perspective. So to me, it was fun. Now, season two got a little far out there, and I wasn't overly surprised that the project ended, at least at that point in time.
I had known slightly Dr. Hynek in the 70s and early 80s, and whatever that was not Dr. Hynek.
I didn't think so, but I thought it was good entertainment. I got a kick out of it.
The best way to know what Dr. Hynek was like is watch the few seconds he appears towards the end of Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Just look at him, get a sense of his demeanor and personality there. That's Dr. Hynek.
Not quite as animated as what they portrayed him on in the most recent series.
He was not an action hero.
No.
No, he's very mild-mannered. You can catch him in a few YouTube clips, though, if you look. And I think the Project UFO, you can catch a couple episodes there as well. Yeah, I could see why they would catch people's attention, because he even caught mine after all these years. I thought, wow, this was pretty good. You know, I wish I'd caught that when I was younger, but we just didn't watch that much TV, I guess, back in those days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's one of the few TV shows I actually remember from back then. I was never a big TV watcher, but that one captured me. I think that just got me interested in the paranormal in general.
You see, as we talk about this, I grew up watching the little kiddie sci-fi shows like Captain Video and his Video Rangers, Tom Corbett Space Cadet, Rocky Jones Space Ranger, and the one I think that was in terms of quality the best of the batch was Space Patrol, which was kind of a precursor to Star Trek in a very primitive way. These shows like Space Patrol and Captain Video were done live. They were live. There was no tape, no videotape. These were done live. And you can still find a lot of Space Patrol episodes on YouTube. Captain Video, the sad thing was, it was on a network called Dumont that went out of business and the assets were acquired by Metro Media. They destroyed over 1,500 recordings, kinescopes.
Why would they do
of the
that?
Captain, why of would the Captain that? Video shows, 1,500. So there's only like a half dozen available anywhere.
That's like tragic. Really?
Yeah, why would they do that?
That's stupid.
That they don't care about the cultural value of that sort of thing. They were probably just looking at how much room they had in their, you know, their stock room or something to store stuff. And it was like, oh, who cares about this? And just that was all there was to it.
This was physical videotape and such. Now, the only thing about the show, the only remnant now is that the actor who played the Video Ranger, Captain Video's assistant, Don Hastings, is still alive. He appeared on a soap opera for 50 years. I mean, the guy was a decent actor, and he's still around. I don't know if he acts anymore. But the original Video Ranger, Don Hastings. I don't know why.
I've heard that name.
Okay. Yeah, look him up. Now, Bill, so you watched this TV show, Project UFO, got interested in the subject at 9 years old. Where'd it go from there?
Well, from there, the interesting thing was my younger brother and I were raised by our mom and our great-grandmother. So mom was a single parent with low budget, and she provided us with cheap entertainment because that's what she could afford. So she would read to us stories like The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. So that got me interested in the fantasy aspect of the genre. And so I started following that. Into my teen years, I began getting into role-playing games like Dungeons & Dragons, the early 1970s version of that game. Went to a couple conventions when I was in high school, and a little bit older than that. But then I got the driver's license and started doing different things and kind of got away from the paranormal for a while. I kind of segued over into horror, maybe in the 20s. And by the time I was 30, it evolved in my first marriage, which was a debacle, but that's a whole other story. we happened to stumble across the movie of the Mothman Prophecies from 2002. I'd never heard of the Mothman phenomenon or anything about it, but the movie really captured my imagination.
Bill Kuselis joins us, and we're going to talk about how his interest in paranormal transferred to Mothman. More to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Hello, Paracast people. I'm Greg Carlwood, the host of the Higher Side Chats podcast, an uninterrupted and action-packed interview-based show where I talk to some of the brightest minds for our troubled times about all things paranormal, occult, esoteric, and conspiratorial. After 10 years, we've heard it all. Alien moon bases, archons, hollow earth, technocratic and biomedical agendas, magic, mind control, and Lovecraftian monsters. Oh my. Usually, the first hour of the show is free, and the second hour is for members who sign up for the Higher Side Chats Plus at $8 a month. But praise be, we're giving Paracast listeners 2 free weeks of Plus when you use the all caps coupon code PARACAST. Go to thehiresidechats.com, sign up with the code PARACAST, and dive into the nearly never-ending archive of great interviews I've been lucky enough to get over the years, from David Politis to David Icke, and many, many guests not named David. Check it out. You're going to love it. All right, Gene, was that good? Can we use that one?
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have 2 convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-215-1727. 800-215-1727. That's 800-215-1727.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Bill Kuselis joining us. And before we mention how he got his interest expanded with Mothman. He saw the movie starring Richard Gere as a very, 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 speaking of real life, rough, rough approximation of John Keel, a character called John Klein, as I recall. What's interesting, this was probably the only thing from which John Keel, the real John Keel, made any decent amount of money from. After he got his money from selling the book, I think he bought himself a new car and everything. Now, it was a fiction movie. So how does this connect to your factual interest?
Well, what really kind of surprised me about the movie was I've always been one that's drawn to things that are paranormal, but that aren't fictionalized. And obviously the movie itself is fictionalized, but it's based loosely upon the book that John Keel wrote that was published in 1975, The Mothman Prophecies. Interestingly enough, it's got a lot of the same ambiance of Gray Barker's 1970 book, Silver Bridge. So I think between the movie and the setting that it kind of laid, and then understanding that it was based in historical perspective, I decided to go out and acquire the book. And reading through John Keel's Mothman Prophecies really sparked my interest. I mean, the movie was interesting, but I knew it was Hollywoodized. But the book itself had so many interesting nuances that were more than just a black shrouded creature that scared people in Point Pleasant in 1966 and 67. There was also UFO sightings. There were lights in the sky. There were men in black. All kinds of really interesting things that took place during that time. And it just pulled me in and made me want to investigate it more and more and more.
Well, let's talk a little bit about a couple of those things then. So can you describe a couple of these MIB encounters?
Sure. The men in black, the first one that comes to mind for me was there was a young witness who I think was 17 or 18 years old by the name of Connie Carpenter. And Connie had been coming home from church on a Sunday, and she saw the Mothman. She just saw a strange figure that she couldn't describe. And on her way home, somebody approached her and tried to grab her out of a car. And it was a late model car, and it was a younger man, maybe in his late 20s, early 30s or so he appeared, tried to get her to get in the car. She was able to break away from him and get home, but she was terrified by this whole thing. So she stayed in her home for the next several days and found a note underneath her door after the first day that said, "You better watch yourself, girl. We can get you yet." Now, that was one instance of a man in black, but there were also, you know, individuals that were standing, you know, in Point Pleasant, just kind of taking a look around, scouting out the people and the things going on in the town and trying to pay attention to. It seemed to keep people in line, so to speak, to keep this whole Mothman thing at bay, so to speak, if that makes sense.
Was there a sort of a definitive connection there between the MIB and the Mothman sighting? Like in typical MIB encounters, they'll be traveling in threes, for example, and they'll say specifically, you know, you really need to stop looking into this UFO sighting thing.
Yes, there was a newspaper reporter by the name of Mary Heyer, and she worked for the Athens, Ohio Messenger. And she was kind of the Point Pleasant area person who knew everything that was going on in the community. And she followed some of the UFO sightings that were happening back in 66 and 67 and followed the Mothman sightings. And she would write articles about this, and she would publish them in the newspaper. And there is one report in the Mothman Prophecies where she's sitting at her desk and an individual walks into her office, walks up to her desk, and she doesn't even really notice him walk in. But as she takes a look at him, he's very, very short, has very thick Coke bottle bottom glasses on and a hat and all dressed in black. And he just stares at her and basically asks her about these writings she's doing and talking about these flying saucers and such, and said, "What would you say if I told you to stop writing about flying saucers?" And she basically said, "You know, you can go pound sand," in a little bit rougher language than that. So that was another encounter that Mary Heyer had with a man in black. Interestingly enough, the lady that I mentioned a few minutes ago, Connie Carpenter, that was Mary Heyer's niece. So there was a family connection there as well.
Oh, wow. That is pretty weird. Okay. So how about some of these UFO sightings? What kind of things were people seeing in the sky or on the ground? Let's go over a couple of those.
So there is actually a chapter in the Mothman Prophecies book. It's called Purple Lights and April Foolishness. And in that chapter, John Keel writes of his investigations into different areas of the Point Pleasant area where they would see all types of lights in the sky and things that, you know, really shouldn't be there. And he and Mary Heyer went out to a spot which is close to the TNT area or the McClintock Wildlife Preserve, which is where the Mothman was first sighted. And that area was kind of his abode, so to speak. But they took a look at an area, a road called Camp Connolly Road, where there was all types of different purple lights in the sky and odd things happening. And in one instance, they were watching the sky, and Keel actually had a very high-powered flashlight. And they were watching these lights that were up in the sky, and he took his flashlight out and started flashing Morse code. And Mary asked him, well, what are you doing? What are you trying to tell these things? Well, all of a sudden, these lights started descending in a way that was like the falling leaf sensation, almost like these lights were walking down hypothetical stairs. Well, he had used Morse code and said the word descend. And apparently, it seemed that they interpreted exactly what he had asked it to do, and they would walk down these stairs hypothetically.
That is really interesting. That kind of implies that they know our language and our code, that they've been studying us to some degree, or maybe that they are something from our own civilization, but they seem too weird for that. But what do you think?
Well, and it's interesting that you pose it that way, because one of Keel's theories has been that these things, or that we refer to as extraterrestrials, he was more keen to call them ultra-terrestrials, which I believe is a concept that he derived from Ivan T. Sanderson, who was a big investigator even prior to Keel and such phenomena. He believed they were from a breakaway civilization that was part of this Earth that always had been here. And rather than being from elsewhere or out in space somewhere, the likelihood was that they were more of a manifestation of our very Earth, which is really an interesting perspective and not very popular with nuts and bolts ufologists.
Now, we've talked about breakaway civilizations from time to time on the Paracast. Would have loved to have had the chance to interview Ivan Sanderson. I did meet him a few times in the 60s. He died, I guess, fairly young. However, we do have access to interviews with him, courtesy of our staff announcer, Bob Zanotti. I'll tell listeners about that in a few moments. Bill Kusilis is joining us with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows said the president's condition was very concerning on Friday after he was diagnosed with COVID-19. He said that he was taken to Walter Reed Medical Center as a precaution. He also said the next 48 hours will be critical in terms of his care. The president's doctor, Sean Connolly, painted a much brighter picture.
This morning, the president is doing very well. The team and I are extremely happy with the progress the president has made. Thursday, he had a mild cough and some nasal congestion and fatigue, all of which are now resolving and improving.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on Twitter said that he spoke with the president and said he sounds well and is feeling better. Former New Jersey governor and advisor to President Trump, Chris Christie, is also now in the hospital after testing positive for the virus. This is USA Radio News. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he wants to cancel legislative work until October 19th because of coronavirus cases infecting three senators. That, however, will not delay confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Judge Amy Coney Barrett. The Senate Judiciary Committee still intends to begin that hearing on October 12th, as scheduled, despite many objections from Democrats. Two Republican members of the Judiciary Committee, Utah Senator Mike Lee and North Carolina Senator Tom Tillis, announced they had the coronavirus and tested positive on Friday. Republican Senator Ron Johnson has also tested positive for the virus. Also, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie tested positive. He tweeted that he's receiving medical attention at this time and will keep people apprised of his condition. This is USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, this is Bryce Avalon, the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So about Ivan T. Sanderson, Bob Zanotti had a show in the 60s at a college radio station called Coffee Clutch. And we've had samples of that show on the Paracast some years back, a Voices of the Past episode. We're preparing another one, and we will feature some segments of interviews with Ivan Sanderson and Gray Barker. And more to the point, we may even arrange to have the full interviews from Coffee Clutch available for download if you're a subscriber to the Paracast Plus. So tell us more about these theories. Breakaway civilization, like I said, we've dealt with a number of people who've talked about that. Richard Dolan has also talked about it. Have you thought of it seriously, Bill?
You know, I do find a lot of interest in that particular area. And I guess to maybe dovetail a little bit with your question, there's another aspect that Keel speaks about, not just in the Mothman prophecies, but in some of the other articles that he had written and from some of his field notes that have been assembled by another editor by the name of Andrew Colvin. There is a book that Colvin published about 2 years ago that he titled The Big Blackout. And The Big Blackout, within that book, it parallels a lot of the same things that Keel discussed in the Mothman prophecies, but it really focuses more on some of the things that were taking place, not in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, but in Long Island, New York, in an area known as Mount Misery. Is that something you're familiar with?
We are definitely at the fringe. This is a fringe show, so go ahead, Bill.
Okay, yeah, great. Well, the Mount Misery aspect of things to me is infinitely interesting because in that area of both the Mothman prophecies and some of Keel's field notes that were assembled in the Big Blackout, Keel talks about correspondence with a couple of, he calls, aliens or ultra-terrestrials or extraterrestrials. He uses those concepts pretty interchangeably, but basically the individuals that he speaks to are entities, basically. He never meets them face-to-face, but always either channels them to other individuals or speaks to them over the phone. They were entities that went by the names of Apol, which was spelled A-P-O-L, and Agar, which is spelled A-G-A-R. And allegedly, these individuals were basically spokespeople for this breakaway ultra-terrestrial, extraterrestrial race that had been kind of shadowing the Earth during 66 and 67 and really manifesting largely in the Long Island area. So there was a radio talk show host named Joanne Ferrano, and Joanne went by the stage name of J.P. Paro, P-A-R-O, and she was Kiel's correspondent, and I believe was introduced to Kiel by Jim Mosley, if I remember correctly. But in any event, she was late 20s, maybe early 30s, and Kiel describes her as kind of flighty, and he's had kind of had a way of using terms that we wouldn't describe people with these days because it's not really appropriate in 2020. But in any event, he had all kinds of correspondence with these individuals and wrote letters back and forth and received letters and all kinds of interesting stuff. This is where the Mothman prophecies, the prophecy end of things, really comes into play and isn't even written about so much in the Mothman Prophecies book, but is really detailed more extensively in his field notes and in the Big Blackout. All kinds of stuff was inferred by these people that actually took place, such as the Kennedy assassination, the Martin Luther King assassination, an assassination attempt against the Pope. I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff went on, and he was getting wind of it before it went down.
So very political type stuff.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of it was. And one of the things that he talks about in the Big Blackout is that in talking to one of these entities, he wanted to talk to them about their grand scheme of things, and this guy wanted to know more about Marilyn Monroe, which just seemed kind of bizarre.
Well, of course, yeah, that's there is a Marilyn Monroe sort of conspiracy there because of her connection with Dorothea Kilgallen, and that's all pretty strange, the way that both of those two women died.
Now, I'm not familiar with the other woman.
Dorothy Kilgallen was a gossip columnist who worked out of New York. She worked, I believe, for the Hearst newspaper chain. There was a newspaper in New York in those years called the New York Journal American. It's one of the papers that folded over the years. And she even appeared on a TV show, What's My Line, where you had identified what the guests did for a living, that kind of thing. And how she got so immersed in this conspiracy stuff, I'm not 100% sure. But then she wouldn't be the first gossip columnist to get involved in the paranormal. Of course, there was, of course, Frank Scully.
What was the Marilyn connection there then, Bill?
The Marilyn connection was really pretty ambiguous, honestly. Didn't really say a lot about why, you know, Apol or Apol had asked anything about Marilyn Monroe. I think Kiel was puzzled by it, and at that point in the book, it just moves on to different territory. So he never really digs into it a whole lot to uncover what the fascination was, except that maybe she was attractive and this ultra-terrestrial was interested. I don't know. That's as far as it goes.
Hmm. I guess we could sort of draw connections with, well, you know, mentioned the Kennedy assassination, and of course, they had a thing going. So,
true.
You know, maybe Marilyn knew too much. And of course, this is one of the sort of conspiracy theories with Marilyn, is that it wasn't simply an overdose or an accident, but that she was killed. She was murdered by somebody.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other theory here, of course, is they didn't want to be revealed the relationship she had with John and Bobby Kennedy. So it may have been more political than paranormal.
And it very well could have been. I've heard theories also to the regard that John Kiel was a disinformation specialist. So who knows what really might have been going on in the background. And was he actually tasked with propagating all kinds of things to keep the general public at bay? I mean, who knows? It's an interesting thing to delve into, though.
Well, they really owed him a few paychecks, I'll tell you that. Because in the last years of his life, his financial situation was rather poor. After he used up the money from Mothman Prophecies.
That's what I understand. And that's unfortunate. He contributed, I think, so much to the greater body of work. I mean, his writing was exhaustive. He did tons of investigative work. And to me, it's infinitely fascinating. And I think that a lot of people are delving into this now, maybe for the first time, and you're just kind of scraping the surface with the things he went into. But there's a whole Mothman industry out there now. I mean, it's crazy. It's really exploded since he passed away.
What's interesting here, and I know you want to talk about it more, is that some people have some pretty conventional explanations for what Mothman was. It's where you get the alleged banshee warning connection with the crash of the Silver Bridge, where things get complicated. And of course, Gray Barker's book, The Silver Bridge, was not a straight ahead narrative. It was filled with metaphors. It was semi fictional, based on fact.
I like the way that Keel described Gray Barker. And if memory serves me correctly, I think you may have known Gray Barker.
Yes.
And Keel talks about how Gray was, I mean, obviously, he was a great writer. I enjoyed the things that he did. But Keel said that sometimes Barker would take off and write some really interesting stuff, loosely based in fact, and then he'd just kind of like drop everything and just go for broke and write whatever he wanted to. So some of it seemed to be very imaginative. He took a lot of creative license, so to speak, with some of the material, which is one of the reasons I believe Keel went on and wrote his own book about how he saw the whole Mothman phenomenon. But I really think that Gray Barker's work was very interesting as well. And I, of course, have read both the books, The Silver Bridge, as well as Keel's Mothman Prophecies, and some of Barker's other work as well. I think he did a great job from a literary perspective, but a little looser with the way he went about things, I think, than Keel was.
Well, that's to say he was fast and loose with the facts, and I can tell you some more things as we get to our next segment. Bill Kuselis, UFO investigator, and he has looked into the Mothman situation. He's looked into Men in Black, obviously. A lot more to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come on, lady. Get a move on. Goodness. Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, and they made such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
If you want to look at a real straight-ahead presentation from Gray Barker, his first book, which was through a mainstream publisher, not himself, They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers. Did you read that, Bill?
Well, I have the audio version of it, so I haven't actually read it. I've listened to it several times.
That's where he talks about various researchers who, because they acquired knowledge about UFOs, were visited by individuals who told them to shut up. And, of course, the classic case is Albert K. Bender. But Bender is even screwier because Bender was involved in all sorts of mysticism and demonology. And when he wrote a book called Flying Saucers and the Three Men, heavily edited by Gray Barker, he was trying to tell us that the three men in black were really alien visitors in the planet Kayak.
Yes. And I've read that as well. Interesting stuff. And the crossover between the ufological angle of that and the alien entity angle and then the demonological aspects, it's pretty murky, but interesting stuff.
Well, isn't that a lot of what Keel was bringing us, demonology and UFOs? And he's not the first one to look at things like that. There's some people with various religious beliefs that look at UFOs as something evil.
Yes, that's correct. And Keel even speaks in the Mothman Prophecies about how decades after the book was written and after the investigation had been closed, at least in his times, that somebody was going to come across the Point Pleasant area and come up with a learned school of demonology and understand this from a totally different perspective than even he did. But he used that word, and he did try to tie together all kinds of different threads and believe there was one unified theory that could kind of explain or at least speak to all those. And he expounds upon that into his next book, which is The Eighth Tower.
And we should talk some more about that as the show goes on. But before we get that far, I'd like to go through maybe a few more of these prophecies of Apol and Agar. We're talking about political, so the assassinations of Kennedy, King, and the Pope. So there's a religious side to it there as well. One of the things we tend to hear quite a bit about when it comes to the contactee scenarios where the aliens, if that's what they are, they tend to emphasize our relationship with nature and the planet, and that we need to really clean up our act in terms of the environment and to stop making war. Was that included in any of Apol and Eger's prophecies?
It was. In fact, they spoke to that significantly. Interestingly, in The Big Blackout, which to me is the most interesting of all the Kiel compilation books that Andy Colvin did, they go into great lengths and speak about different parallels with the political backdrop of the situation at the time. And there was, right when the Silver Bridge went down, as a matter of fact, in 67 on December 15th, there was an instance of, right before that, Lyndon B. Johnson was about ready to throw the Christmas tree lights on to be able to light up the White House lawn. And Kiel really believed that the messages he was receiving from these ultra-terrestrials was that something really bad was going to happen. This big blackout in the entire our northeast part of the United States was going to lose power. But that didn't happen. However, minutes later, Kiel learned the fact that the Silver Bridge went down. So it almost seems that these entities were giving him certain clues, but not always hitting it right on the head. Here's something going to happen. We're going to give you information about this, and then maybe that over there might happen instead. And he kind of held himself responsible for not really understanding that it was the Silver Bridge that was going to go down in Point Pleasant, but there's just no way he could have identified that.
There was a blackout, of course, in 1965. A large one. Now, is there any connection with that?
I don't recall them speaking about the 65 blackout in any of the literature that I've read through. I'm not saying that it's not there. It doesn't ring a bell.
And did you happen to run across any connection with the paranormal, or was it, you know, just a fuse that a substation that led to a chain reaction?
Meaning with the bridge? Is that what you're asking?
No, with just the 65 blackout, just while we're touching on the topic of blackouts, because there has been that suggestion that maybe some sort of UFO phenomenon was involved in that because of their affinity for hanging out over power lines and power stations and that sort of thing.
I'm sure that's entirely possible. I just don't know anything about pre-66. And what happened before that, yeah, say in 65 or what have you, I just don't know.
There were UFO reports, okay, that were allegedly seen at or near the substation. This is November 1965, just to bring that out. It was investigated. In fact, Dr. James McDonald had testified to some of this before the House Committee on Science when they were looking into the UFO situation in 1968. So, yeah, there may have been something involved there. I don't obviously think it's necessarily UFOs or the connection's been proven, but certainly people suggested it.
So maybe that was kind of a suggestion that got into Kiel's consciousness and kind of onto his radar as something weird that's going to happen. But then it turned out to be this bridge collapse.
Yeah, of course, we're talking about the New York blackout as a separate thing from the bridge collapse, just to make that clear.
Right.
Sure.
But he would have been aware of it, I'm assuming, you know, that it had happened.
And that might very well be chronicled in some of his other works as well. I just don't recall it being part of the big blackout. He may have spoken to that in Operation Trojan Horse, but I'm not as well-versed in that one as I am with the two that we're talking about presently.
Let me read this here from Dr. McDonald from that congressional testimony, only because it may be significant when we look at this thing decades later. He said, "I was dissatisfied with the amount of information I could gain. I am saying there is a puzzling and slightly disturbing coincidence here. I'm not going on record as saying, yes, these are clear-cut cause and effect relations. I'm saying it ought to be looked at. There is no one looking at this relation between UFOs and outages."
Interesting. Yeah, so it would have definitely been on Keel's radar, or at least, you know, in his sphere of sort of psyche thinking about things. And so maybe, you know, that's where he was getting this idea that maybe another one was going to occur. We can speculate. We don't know, but, I mean, it seems reasonable.
I think it's entirely possible, if not probable, that that was part of his decision-making process or the way he was interpreting this information that came to him. And he speaks a lot to a concept that he calls the superspectrum, where we're all basically connected in one way, shape, or form, and that these different paranormal phenomena, whether they're UFO or Mothman or apparitions or what have you, that they tend to manifest in the way that almost interacts with our own level of understanding and consciousness. And to come a little bit short of using the term co-create this phenomenon, it seems that there's some type of an interactive component in the way that we, meaning percipients, actually perceive these phenomena.
No doubt. What we tend to say here on the show is that the phenomena tends to mirror the worldview of the experiencer, is how we put it here.
Yes.
And
yes,
I
agree with that.
That kind of really implies quite a bit, though. I mean, when you start to delve into that, it's a rabbit hole that goes down a long way.
Yes, it absolutely does. It absolutely does. I'm smiling right now because I've been looking at some things that have been giving me pause to stop and ponder, you know, different synchronicities and things that have been happening in my life since I've begun looking closer at some of this anonymous, or not anonymous.
Anomalous?
Phenomena.
Yeah.
Anomalous.
Well,
yeah.
Just want to let you know that on this weekend's episode of After the Paracast, we feature Stephen Bassett with a UFO disclosure update. And that is certainly important now because we have the movie, the phenomenon coming out, and we have the Pentagon UAP task force going to ask Bill Kuselis about that. We got more to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, rockoids.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around a dollar a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.